Well, have you made some New Year's resolutions?
Yeah.
About half of Americans do, and I'd say probably the biggest one, of course, is let's lose a few pounds during this next year, huh? I know that's one for me, certainly. But, you know, there's all kinds of resolutions, lose weight, get to the gym, you know, more often, get this body into shape, things like that. But have you ever thought about it? Most of the resolutions seem like they're about the physical part of life, our bodies, or getting ourselves into shape. Well, how about the spiritual aspect? How about a spiritual resolution for the year 2017? How about one that says, let's grow in our faith. Let's become a mature Christian in the year 2017. Let's become a mature Christian. Now, you know the basics of Christianity. You know what Christmas is all about, how Jesus, God, came down from heaven, was born Emmanuel, God with us, born in Bethlehem. Why? Because we're sinners. Because we needed saving. We needed to be that sacrifice on the cross to pay for our sins. We needed that Savior. And you know that. You needed the Savior. And now we're getting ready to celebrate the season of Epiphany. Epiphany begins on Friday, 12 days after Christmas. And the season of Epiphany talks about how, in our gospel reading, how the Magi came and presented gifts as they followed the star and presented those three gifts to the Christ child, to the Savior of the world. But Epiphany also reveals the fact, of course, that the Savior is not just for the Jews, but for all mankind, for the Gentiles as well. It's revealed that this Savior has come into the world for everybody, for you, for I, to save us from our sins, to pay the price for the sin that we have committed and has separated us from God. The Savior for all people to come and reconcile us back into the loving arms of the Heavenly Father. The Savior of the world to gloriously rise from the dead after paying the price on Good Friday for all of our sins, and celebrating victory over sin, death, and Satan for us on that Sunday. That's why we worship on Sunday, is because it's a Easter celebration. Each and every Sunday we celebrate the fact that the Lord has risen from the dead. He has claimed victory over sin and death. But again, you wouldn't be here this morning unless you knew that. You know the fact that Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior. You know that he has come into the world to pay the price for all our sins. You know that. But how about we take the next step? Okay, we know he's our Savior, so now what? How do we grow in our faith? How do we become a more mature Christian? Well, we got the book of James. The book of James instructs us on how to have a mature faith. The book of James, written by Jesus's, we'd say, half-brother, James, five short chapters, telling us, okay, you have faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, now what? How do you get a mature faith? How do you grow in your faith? And those five chapters in James gives us instructions on how to do that. How to have a mature faith. The book of James uses this Greek word teleos seven times. Teleos, okay, short Greek lesson today. It's just on one word, okay? Bear with me. You can make it. Teleos is a Greek word, and it's translated as total or complete. Now, in the book of James, it's translated correctly, of course, as mature. And so seven times in these five chapters of the book of James is the word mature, teleos. How to have a mature faith. How to grow in our Christian faith, because we have the basics. The book of James was written to Christians. It was written to those 12 tribes scattered across the world. It's written to us. It's written to people who know that they're saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Martin Luther once called the book of James an epistle of straw. He didn't really like it a whole lot, but yet Luther didn't really know the gist of what James had to say. Let's go back 500 years. At the time of the Reformation, the emphasis was, Luther was saying, we're saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That is how we have our salvation, and we know that. But then the book of James comes along and says, okay, faith without works is dead. Is it contradictory? Is it contradiction to what our Christian principles are all about? Well, no. It's because this was written to Christians. This was written to know that these Christians already know that they're saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And so then you ask the question, okay, so now what? Now that I know that I'm saved through the grace of God, now that I know I have salvation, what do I do? What flows out of me as a response? And the book of James gives us those instructions. It's not how to get salvation. It's what we do now that we know that we have salvation. And so the book of James, in those short five chapters, gives us an instruction manual on how to have a mature faith. Not how salvation is gained or earned by our good works, because we know we're saved through the grace of God, faith in Him. But what we do with that faith now that we have it. Well, what is the recipe? What is the instruction to have a mature faith? First of all, let's say what it's not. Mature faith is not dependent upon our age. It's not dependent upon appearance or achievement, but it's dependent upon our attitude. It's not dependent upon age. It does not matter whether you're 5 years old, 10 years old, or 95 years old. I know people who are 5 and 10 who have a very mature faith. And I know 85-year-olds who do not have a mature faith. It does not depend on our age, nor does it depend on our appearance. There's some people who just look a little bit more mature in their faith, don't they? But it has nothing to do with appearance. And it has nothing to do with achievement. Achievement in the sense of offices in the church, if you will. You see, you can be an usher. You can be on the church board. You can be an elder for 30 years in the church, but still not have a mature faith. You can be a pastor of a church. You can have a PhD in theology, and still that does not mean that you necessarily have a mature faith. It's not based upon achievement, but mature faith is based upon attitude. It all comes down to our attitude. Okay, so there's the answer. Shall we go home? Let's dig a little bit deeper. It depends on our attitude. James chapter 1, verse 2 now says this. It says, consider it pure joy when you face trials. It's the attitude that makes the difference. Consider it pure joy when you face trials. Think about that for a moment. As you face trials, we are to consider it joy. Think about that word, consider. Consider means, you know, reckon it to be. Think that it should be this way. So we, as if you're a mature Christian then, according to the book of James, you are to reckon it to be, as you go through trials, that it can be joyful. You consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials. Reckon it to be. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. It's difficult. Very, very difficult to have pure joy when you're facing trials. But it's about the attitude. The attitude makes the whole difference. Johnny Erickson Tada was a young lady who, in 1967, made a decision that influenced the rest of her life one day as she jumped into the Chesapeake Bay, into the water. She misjudged how deep the water was. And she dove in. She hit her head extremely, extremely hard, and she became paralyzed. She's in a wheelchair the rest of her life. Could have easily have felt sorry for herself and was down with life, but no. Her attitude was she will praise God in all circumstances. She taught herself to paint. She was a wonderful artist. She painted with putting the paintbrush in her mouth, painting that way. She also authored over 40 books, many that are still very, very popular today. And in one of those books, I'll paraphrase one of the paragraphs she says in that book. She says that when we are the weakest, we rely the most on the strength of Jesus. She said that she hopes, and she knows it's not theologically correct, but she hopes she can take her wheelchair to heaven. Because in heaven there, she would say to God, she'd say, Jesus, you know, thank you for putting me in this wheelchair. Because while I was in the wheelchair, I was at my weakest point. I was down in the depths. I was in the pits. Because I knew I would have that wheelchair the rest of my life. But in that weak time, in that pit, if you will, in your life, that's when we rely the most on God. That's when we turn to Him for His strength. That's when we turn to Him and His promises that He's always going to be there for us. During the great times, we don't think about God so often as we do when we're in the bottomless pit of life. When we're going through those trials and tribulations in life, that's a lot of times when we turn to God and we rely on His strength and His mercy as we go through those trials. It's when we're at our weakest, we can see the strength of our Savior. And we all have those wheelchairs, if you will, huh? By wheelchair, of course, I mean those trials, those tough times in your life. You may be having a wheelchair right now. You may be having that tough time in your life. If you aren't right now, there's probably one that's on the way. We will all have those trials and tribulations this side of heaven. James, again, 1, verse 2 says, whenever you face trials, when you face trials, it doesn't say if, it says when. The bad news is, folks, we're going to face trials. When you face them with the attitude of a mature Christian and do it with pure joy. We will face those trials and tribulations, and there could be some coming in the year 2017. When we face the trials, we face them with our Lord. We turn to Him for our strength. We know that going through those trials produces, James says, produces perseverance. We learn to persevere as we go through tough times, as we go through them over and over again. It then produces perseverance in our lives. And perseverance, when we continue and persevere, we will ultimately, in verse 12, he says, have the crown of life. You see, heaven is coming when there will be no more wheelchairs, where we will have no more tough times. Heaven is there for us, but this side of heaven, as we go through life, there will be those wheelchairs. There's going to be those tough times. When you face those trials, James says, we draw strength from our God. We draw our energy from Him. We lean upon Him in times of trouble. We look to His word for strength and for comfort. When a baby giraffe is born, it falls about 10 feet from its mother, and it lands on its back. And then it struggles. It has to really fight to get on to its feet. And then once the baby giraffe gets on its feet, the mother does something which I find really strange. The mother will kick the baby giraffe back over onto its back. Welcome to the world, little giraffe, huh? Yeah. Do you feel like you're getting kicked around sometimes? You just get on your feet, and bam, you get kicked back over onto your back. The baby giraffe does this time after time. It struggles. It makes its way up. It stands on its four legs again, only to have its mother kick it right back. And it falls back onto its back. That's how life is for us. We stand up and we are on fours, and bam, we get hit again. We get hit again with a trial, with a tough time in our life, but it produces perseverance. You see, that baby giraffe, if it's not able to get up onto its four legs and be able to run away quickly, it would be lunch for a lot of wild animals. You see, a lot of wild animals love to munch on baby giraffes. And the mother knows that it's got to teach that baby how to get up, how to get onto its four legs so it can run away from danger. And our God knows that we too have to go through these trials. We have to go through these struggles in life to produce perseverance, because every struggle that we have has a purpose. Every tough thing that we go through has a purpose. And we may not know it at the time. It may not be as clear as day. But we can look back maybe years later and see the purpose that that trial had, what it had in our life. What that tough time taught us, how that tough time taught us to persevere. And it may not always be so obvious. God knows the big picture. He knows what we need. And he knows that each and every trial that we go through has a purpose. And the good news is, he is there for us as we go through those trials and those tribulations. He's there for us all the time. And so as we enjoy another year of 2017, I want us to just know one thing for sure. We know that the Lord loves you. You may be a new Christian who has just come into the Christian faith, and you may not be very mature yet. You may not be very mature in that Christian faith. God loves you, and he's there for you. He's there for you as you go through those trials and tribulations. You may be a mature Christian already. You may be at that point where you can say, yes, I consider it joy when I go through the trials. You may be there. God loves you. He loves you, and he wants you to rely on his promises. No matter what stage of life, of faith walk you're in, we always want to keep growing closer and closer to our Savior Jesus. And may that happen in this upcoming year as we grow more intimately connected with our Lord and our Savior. He loves you and will always be there for us. Amen. Shall we rise and pray together? Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for being there for us all the time. In those good times and in those tough times, Lord, we know that you are with us. And as we stand on our feet and are kicked down again, Lord, we know that it has a purpose for us in our life as we learn perseverance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.